I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. Garver Brummett's book, The Scent of Jasmine Cools the Raids, uses his wild illustrations and stories to illuminate his path through and beyond abuse, addiction, prison, and homelessness, as well as his successful path to healing and authorship. He's been a counselor assisting others in transition out of prison and finding their own positive paths, and is doing motivational speaking now as well. He'll give a reading at Tsunami Books in Eugene on Sunday, September 24th. Nice to see you again, Garver.
And good to see you too, Eric.
Well, what is it about your personal path through trouble and back to redemption that you want our listeners to know?
No matter what, and I've said this in a lot of videos I've put on Facebook, but as dark as it could get, and you feel abandoned by whatever, other people or your higher power, if you have such a thing, that you just don't give up, because there'll always be a door open, there'll always be somebody that'll pop into your life that can get you out of it. And you have to learn to ask for help, because we'll never do this journey by ourselves. I mean, I totally believe there's no such thing as a self-made man or woman, that we do have to depend on other people. And sometimes it takes a lot of pain before we can get that humbleness inside of us, before we can reach out to others, unfortunately, but fortunately also. So that's the direct,
Where did you find your turning point after homelessness, prison for bank robbery, other difficult times?
For me, it was a lot of reading. Books literally saved my life in prison, and that's where I delved into them, religious texts, self-help books. And I have huge reverence for books. Hence, that's why I wrote a book, because I thought it would be great to have something on a shelf that would reach people that were at the bottom, like I was. And to me, if I died today, that'd be the best thing I ever left. And because to be a part of that is huge for me. And hopefully it'll change some people's lives. And I know so far by talking to people that it has affected them deeply. So that's a huge honor to me.
I think you've seen raids from a very unusual perspective through the course of your own life and through helping people who have been through difficult transitions as well. When you look at raids, is there a commonality you see to where raids comes from in these divisive times?
For me, and what I see with other people, is just a lot of pain. And if you can confront the pain, and also forgiveness. For me, it was letting go of a lot of resentments and hate that I had for my stepfather and parents growing up and just societal stuff. And I had to really let go and forgive a lot of things for me to open up and for that rage to dissipate. The other thing was just finding, as you say, that quiet place. But for me, it's meditation. And I have to do that, and also helping other people. The one thing I notice is, for me and others, is why am I always miserable? Well, one of the reasons is I'm always thinking about myself, and that's usually when I'm the most miserable. So if I'm out trying to touch other people, trying to help other people, then that hugely dissipates, and I'm not thinking about Garver anymore, stuck in the ego and all my problems. And I think that is actually the magic pill for a lot of people, is if you just get out there. And why are we here? If we're not helping other people, what's the point? Just to live selfishly and bump through life until we're dead? For me, that's not the point. If it is for you, great, but,
But. So the metaphor of jasmine is strong in your book. Can you talk about what the scent of jasmine meant to you when you were young?
Yes, and I think I told you this before, but when I was young, I was growing up, and I lived in a place called Simi Valley in California, and there was a jasmine bush outside my window, and I remember the smell coming in. It was the best smell. It was comforting, and it just kind of transported me into that was the best time of my life, and then things turned dark. But years after that, I'm on the streets when I was homeless, I would smell it in Southern California. And it just transported me back to happier times, and it gave me hope. And the Persians called it the gift from God, and the scent of jasmine. And so I thought it was apropos for me to name my book that. It just, you know, just kind of went with it. So
when you look around us locally, do you see other kind of forms of jasmine that people use in the same way to get themselves to a place of peace?
Yeah, I see a lot of people. I mean, it could be done more community, you know, people getting involved and, like I said before, getting out of ourselves. And I think that's a huge way of getting into that. You know, and like I said, I'll reiterate, I just really believe that to get there, you're going to have to find a sacred spot for yourself, whether it be meditation or, you know, helping others. But you have to find it. And but I think the ultimate part is to just, you know, to forgive and let go of a lot of things for you to get there. Because if you hold on to that stuff, you won't.
Art has clearly been a part of your transformation as well, and your refuge in another way. Your illustration is so much reminiscent of Ralph Steadman and Gilbert Shelton and R. Crumb, all of those people. Tell me about that inspiration and how art has helped you to transform as well.
You know, years ago when I was, you know, in an abusive relationship with my stepfather, you know, I would put the headphones on, listen to the music, and I would just go to town with pen and ink, you know, and, you know, Robert Crumb, Gilbert Shelton, Ralph Steadman was a huge hero of mine for Hunter S. Thompson and other stuff. But that stuff was, that's how I transported myself. I got lost in my drawings and it really was cathartic. And, God, I have suitcases full of it from back then. They kind of sit in the closet, but you were talking about the happy place or the transformative place where we can go, and that was it for me. That's how I checked out, and it was it probably saved me, you know, my art.
As you transform from being a counselor for a drug and addiction counselor to being a motivational speaker as well, what's the message that you are particularly carrying out to those that you're speaking to?
Well, the thing that's been apparent to me lately and through our culture in the last couple of years, and I don't go left or right, or I'm not going to that paradigm, but is the victim stance. And that's a huge part of what, you know, one of the reasons I wrote the book, and was one of the reasons, well, was the reason why I changed, you know, reading the books I did in prison and realizing that I had the power to change my circumstances. I had to take responsibility for myself and not point fingers at everything else. Yes, bad things happened to me, but I'm not going to grieve over it for 20 or 30 years and, you know, nothing happens except pain. So I had to take responsibility and change my life. So what I see in our culture now is, one, a country that is has abundance and, quite honestly, seems to be very spoiled, and we create things, from my perspective, from where I come from, which are just laughable to what we consider painful and bad times. We have everything we can possibly want here. You can walk down the street to a grocery store and grab whatever you like. A lot of places you can't do that in this world. So we just have to put things in perspective, I believe, and really be grateful for what you have, and really, really, really take stock of people you love, your community. And that's the way to get out of it. I mean, we concentrate on things that aren't there, and I think it's a necessary, and well, it's very debilitating, and it's soul-killing. When you get stuck in that path of victimhood and you stay in it, nothing will change in your life, and you won't create abundance for yourself, and you'll just stay a victim. And nothing in the animal kingdom or whatever is stuck in the victim stance. It just is. So, but that's the one thing that I see a lot of, and I would like to address more of.
How will you be addressing all of these issues at Tsunami Books on September 24th?
You know, I'm going to shoot from the hip a lot. You know, there's going to be a lot of Q&A. I'm going to read some stories. I'm going to talk. I'm going to talk. Tell a couple other stories that I'm going to put in a new book. But for the most part, I'm going to try to engage people and talk about these issues, and not just me regurgitating whatever. But I want people to be involved, and maybe, you know, with a lot of Q&A. So.
What will the focus of the new book be?
Well, the focus is going to be some old stuff too, some old stories like I did before, but a lot of it's going to be transitioning out of prison when I did in 1998 and the hurdles of that. the realities. I don't want to candy coat this and make it like, you know, some flowery, you know, hey, look at me, I overcame this and da-da, everything's great. Because everything is good, but it's, you know, and it is great, but there's a lot of stuff that comes with that. You know, it's painful. There's a lot of work involved that people aren't aware of, and they want to give up quickly. You have to put in the work if you're going to get anything. And the reality is, once again, the victim thing, people are going to shut the door in your face because you're an ex-con, but guess what? Other people will open it too. If you're honest and you just keep going forward, doors will open. It's just the way it is. You got yourself there. You can get yourself out. Those are just the realities. And I'm a living testament, and I know lots of other people that are too, that have great lives, that spent lots of years in prison and as drug addicts, and but decided to change the victim stance once again, and took responsibility for their own lives and are now flourishing. So, yeah.
How does gratitude figure into all of that for you?
Gratitude's the magic pill. You know, there's an older guy, I go to AA meetings, but he talks about his quick prayer is, help me, God, thank you, God. You know, and the biggest thing for me is gratitude, because when we lose touch with that, with the abundance that we have, like I said before, then we lose touch with everything. And then we start getting into groveling, whining, sniveling, and, you know, and everything's a pain in the ass. So the attitude of gratitude is, quite honestly, the very cornerstone of why everything started changing for me. Taking accountability and being grateful for what I have and not concentrating on what I don't have. You know, when you concentrate on you don't have, you can do that forever till you're dead. Hence, if you start concentrating on all the things you do have, you can start concentrating on that until you're dead. So, you know, I mean, it just opens doors. Gratitude opens doors. It shows on people's, it shows on your face. People are attracted to that. What you put out, you're going to get back. And I'm a firm believer in the cause and effect. And I've noticed through the years when I've started developing that attitude of gratitude that people are more attracted to me, and they want to help, or they're there to be a part of. I'm not showing that energy that I did once before, you know, that said go away. And that was a safety mechanism. But, you know, the very things that kept me alive years ago in the streets and in prisons are the very things I can't do now in order to live in society. And that's another thing that I want to talk about in my new book is, you know, how we have to pump the brakes on something and let go of an old lifestyle to become, well, like the metamorphosis, to change and to come into fruition into a whole new life. So, yeah.
Well, much respect to you for the changes you've made and the service you bring in this world and your wonderful art and stories. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Eric. I really appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Garver Brummett, author and illustrator of the book The Scent of Jasmine Cools the Rage. He's also served as a drug and addiction counselor for those emerging from prison and as a motivational speaker as well. He'll give a reading at Tsunami Books in Eugene on Sunday, September 24th at 4 p.m. For more information, tsunamibooks.org, and find the book on amazon.com. For an extended version of this interview, klcc.org. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.